Hello, and welcome back to the Bitter Jurors. We are a queer survivor superfan podcasting about Survivor 46. We are on episode 7, second vote of the not merge, where people just exist on the same island together, but they don't vote together. Next week, hopefully, they will. But I'm joined by oh shoot, I should have thought of something. I was gonna say something because I have two of you, and one of you is like a split tribal.
Yeah.
On one tribe we have Derek, and on another tribe we have Sam.
Yeah, next the next time on, Jeff was like, "I've never seen this happen before." And I think it's probably everybody actually
Voting
voting.
together.
Everyone has a vote and they're voting together. That is, I've never seen that before.
And we're back on their train with our new era superstars, guests, people we wanted on the pod for a while. And I will say this person was my preseason winner pick in Survivor 43, and we tragically lost him in a similar situation. It's James Jones.
I don't know, so I don't think, but thank you for having me. I'm excited to get on the podcast. It's been a roller coaster ride, so I'm excited to talk about this episode with you all. So it's going to be fun. So and I appreciate being a winner pick. Like, so
Yes.
I didn't know about like how deep the Survivor fandom was like going into the show. Like, I didn't know how important a winner pick actually was, and like I didn't know there was fantasy leagues. Like, if I knew this, I'd have been more corrupt. I would have looked at some of the some I would have told my friends how to bet. I would have studied this thing. I would have
Well,
figured it out there.
I'm sure. Are you aware of the how in Australian Survivor they like you can like bet money like legally on Survivor like results, and like I'm pretty sure every year consistently like the actual winner is like the one with the best odds. So like clearly they're like telling people who won.
You can bet on American Survivor too.
That's
You
true.
can see where it's at, like on Bovada. Like, I remember seeing this stuff, and then like with the prop bets, I'm like, how can I cash in on some Survivor fandom? I didn't know about this. If I knew there was a big fantasy pool for a ton of money, I'd have, man, who knows? Like, wake somebody up on Fromm's. I maybe did it. Pull a Gabler first. Who knows? So,
That insider trading? I don't know. The next All-Star season, they're all gonna just collude and perfectly map out the boot order and then all bet money on exactly what's gonna happen. So they'll make
That's
way
smart.
more than $1 million.
No, see what happened with that. All the pre-gaming that's going to happen is going to go completely out the door, and it's going to be like the funniest thing once that season does happen. Like, I mean, it's going to be hilarious. Everybody's going to pre-game and do all this stuff, and then when it actually they hit when they hit Pondy and they start playing, it's going to be crazy and funny. I think it's going to be a funny season because it's going to have some challenge elements where, ooh, they are friends and besties outside of the game, and it's like, no, they gotta go. So
Yeah,
it's so funny to think about pre-gaming because, like, even just watching the show, the plan switches like every 15 minutes, and so like the idea of pre-gaming like for months or years without ever voting together, like or like proving trust in a real way, like is essentially meaningless, but you have to do it.
yeah, I feel like it makes more sense for why, like, I feel like it works better on Big Brother, as we've seen, just because it's just like, I don't know, you're all just kind of sitting there. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't
I'm
know.
excited for New Era All Stars. I feel like it'll be cuckoo. At least hopefully.
James, I guess I don't really know that much about your Survivor journey. You said you didn't really know it was a big fan base. Were you a big fan before you went on the show?
So I knew there was a big fan base. It's been on this, like, I've been watching this since I'm a kid, right? So I remember the first episode. I remember watching it with my family and all that stuff, right? What I didn't know was like I wasn't really on Twitter for the last, like, 5 to 10 years prior. Like, so I didn't know there was like this whole Twitter community. Like, I knew Bryson Wendell. Like, I listened to their podcast. Like, I actually knew them, but like, I didn't know, like, oh, like about the traveling watch parties. And I started listening to RHAP, but then I found out, oh crap, there's all these other podcasts just are talking good or bad stuff about me. Like, I didn't know, like, in my pregame interviews, I could like do stuff to like envision myself to the Survivor fandom. Like, I could have did an offhand reference. Who's your favorite Survivor? Oh, it's somebody from season 9. And like, you can do things like that to kind of raise yourself in the like pregame stuff. So for me, I didn't care about any of that stuff. Like, I was ready to be out there and play. And like, and then when you leave the show, you're like, oh, it's all these podcasts really. looking at my answers to these questions where I didn't care anything about this. Like, there were video calls with like random people. They're like, oh, so what is up? Like, I'm not telling you nothing. You're opposition. You want me to lose. Like, why am I telling you my strategy? This is not cool. So but now it's kind of dope to see, like, and you see so many different communities and so many different people gravitate, and you can see what people are getting from different episodes and what they're taking away from it. So that part is interesting to me because I watched Survivor for I just like the strategy. I thought this is a good experiment. I don't care about personality. I wasn't like, oh, this is my, but then you see there is that emotional element out there, and that's also dope to see how people connect and like why people connect on the show. So
mm-hmm. That's so what was the, like, you're speaking like the experience, was it like surreal seeing yourself on TV? Like, what was that like, just watching your season?
I mean, the competitor in me was angry the whole season. I knew I didn't win, and then people were like, yo, you're doing so well. I'm like, if you only knew, because it's different. Like, people were literally like, oh, you're like, yo, you laying low, you're doing good. Like, I'm like, oh yeah,
now, yeah.
We're reinforcing. They're like, yeah, well, we gonna do it the million. I'm like, yeah.
That is tough. I mean, I don't know what I would do in that situation. I feel like it would be hard to just be like, well, I sucked in it, so it does. It's like, stop rooting for me. It's not worth it. Like, it's going nowhere.
I mean, I think there's like the mystery of kind of, I also feel like it's how your game went, right? Where if you feel like you're happy with the game you played, like, and I'm relatively happy with that, I could have did other things better. I'm kind of watching to see, okay, what are they going to show? What aspects of the game are they showing? How did things happen? How did things change? So I'm watching it like for the first time, like just figuring out how are they putting these pieces together, as opposed to, I'm not watching it like from an entertainment standpoint. For me now, Survivor is like, I don't know what's happening, but you kind of can piece together from a production editing point of view what things they're showing and not showing. And what they're not showing is also like the stuff that you're like, oh, I get, because they're trying to build up to a certain place. And you kind of notice those things more now, you know, I've been off the island or whatever like that. So that's what I enjoy from watching. It's weird to watch stuff on television. It's like very weird.
I'm curious how this episode was for you, because this is how you went out. In your season,
I mean, I may have went listened back to the episode we all interviewed Scout for the boot. I may have listened to the episode, but no. this episode, this whole structure is a very interesting.
That's a good way to put it.
I'm trying to word it right, right?
Well, do you guys talk shit on the island? Are you like, I don't like this?
No, yeah. Well, it depends on like your allegiance to the show. Like for me, sure. I was out, like, there are people that are like super duper fans, which is great, where they're like, yo, I want to, but for me, I'm like, I don't care about Jeff. I'm trying to win this million. Like, literally, like, if Jeff didn't say one word to me and I won $1 million, I'd have been 100% cool with it. Like, then there's certain people that want to hug Jeff and make Jeff their best friend. And it's fine. It's just like, that's just for me. I really was focused on, you know, getting a million. And like, I was worried about the split tribal, like, forever. Like, they didn't show any of me talking about it, but literally, I was so shook about that the entire game. Because I figured if I get past the split tribal, I have a strong chance. But I knew the split tribal was going to be a place where, you know, people get targeted. And we didn't actually see the Marianne Drea thing, right? Mm-hmm. So then, like, when you get off the island, that's the first episode I saw.
Oh no.
Wow.
So the first episode I saw, I was like, man, could I just saw one more episode and maybe
things would be different.
Could have changed things if they had seen that specific
council. Hopefully things would change.
But I think
apparently not.
I think two things can be true as well, that mm-hmm. something that happens, right? But it also is not something that the players are, like, you know, purposely trying to do, right? There can be two things where the game is structured, the way the game is cast, like the structure of the actual game and how the personalities match. It could just be what's happening. However, it's kind of looking at, okay, you know, what is happening to like, why, what are the qualities that are causing this to happen? And maybe, is there anything structurally from the game? And I'm not a scientist, so I just know. I was looking at it like...
Yeah.
I thought it was gonna be Tillman Q. It was Tillman Soda. So you know.
There's a lot of different contributing factors, and like I do obviously think that like race is very much part of it. Like I agree with what you're saying, where it's like it's the structure of the game, it's all the different people there, it's how they experience things. But then I just always think about like maybe last year, the year before, someone was talking about how like because of the diversity initiative, like with 50% more people of color in the game at all, it makes it a lot more likely that every single boot will be a person of color. So it's like it's all sorts of different factors, and some of them are good things that like are contributing to more people having a chance of going home, but like it is a strange pattern that has happened over the course of them doing this twist like 5 times, and like 8 black men have gone home.
Yeah, 39. Yeah. This is 39. It's kind of the consistent.
It's a consistent. It's like, yeah, it's very weird because I think Gia Worthy posted the like, it was like, it's just like so consistent, and I don't know if there's an answer to it. Why? I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it's kind of those things where I don't think there's an answer to it. Just like,
sure.
When everybody's like, you know, like my season, everybody's like, yo, all the women were going home. And like, and I was sitting there like, I was trying to work with the women and they were trying to vote me out. Like, I wasn't purposely trying to, like, my first alliance. I'm at the bottom of a 3-girl alliance. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm happy to play that part. And then it's like, we get to the merge. Wanted to play with Ellie and Janine. They wanted to vote me out. Like, what about, it's like every season is so kind of different. But when you look at it from the outside, it's like, oh, shoot, they are just anti-women. And it's just pro-tribe strength. And it's like, well, that's not how it went down. Like, but that's why I don't like trying to criticize players on that level and things like that. It's like, this is the microcosm of America and the things that we see, like, in how communities are treated here too. So it's like being able to have these conversations, and you know, I think it's good for everybody, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any one individual elimination usually is like something you can point to and be like, this person is a sexist, but like I think it's just like we're talking about on the broader scheme of things. But like you talk about your season and like it, like all the women going home, and it's just so interesting to compare directly to 44, where like the first 4 people voted out were women also, but like it was never discussed in that way. Jam and Carolyn were like the big people, so it was clear that it wasn't like a huge issue or whatever, but it's just interesting to think about the framing of the different seasons.
Right. I don't know what's the solution. I don't know.
Not doing the Swiss, like
I feel like just like from a game mechanic point of view, it's like I feel like what it does is like you can get really lucky, end up not having to show your hand for 2 straight votes, right?
Yeah,
like based on a rock draw, right? Which is great, you know, it's random, but like some people are going to get the shirt into the stick, and it's not by anything that they did from a game point of view. And I like randomness; that's fine, I'm cool. But like when it comes to like tribes, go to schoolyard picks or do stuff where you have to eliminate people, like make us make choices as players, you know, definitely, that cause tension as opposed to a rock draw, right? It's like, oh, you had to run find this, you know, golden rock in the woods, you get to have the first pick in the draft, like and then you have to choose between your ally who may be a bad athlete and your adversary who is a great athlete, and what choice are you going to make? And I think those are the things that drive you know conflict and tension on the beach, as opposed to a rock draw. And then you look at teams and it's like, well
I have to like go for this person. Yeah, I agree, that would be a much better if we have to do the split tribal, like that would be more interesting. But I think in general the show just is very anti, I guess, showing your hand is the word, or like we just don't do touchy subjects anymore, we don't do any of the like take out this person's name games anymore. It's just like they want to avoid anyone having any sort of idea of what the like dynamics are, which I don't really like that.
It's so strange because it's paired with the commentary that there's nowhere to hide, but like this, like through 2 votes of the merge, the Yanu 3 have all essentially been immune just based on how the teams have shaken out. And like Hunter voted for the first time this episode, like 7 wild. Episodes in. So there are a lot of places to hide and very little times where people can get exposed for lying.
And you articulated that way better than I think I have, where it's like, some people really are forced to play because they just aren't in a situation, not by a game factor, it's a rock draw. Mm-hmm. Now, if a game situation puts you in a factor where you have to scramble, I'm all for it. But when the rock draw does it, after you like kind of worked all merge to kind of secure, you worked and, you know, get to merge, you worked, but it's like, to a rock draw, it's like, no, like, let everybody feel the heat, because I think you're going to get more, more people feeling the pressure. But when you don't, when half the people are immune, it's kind of like, all right, cool. Like, and then you switch up into groups and like, there's an obvious, like, to me, I feel like it's harder to edit probably the other way when you don't have your defined storylines, because anybody could go home. So how are you going to match a storyline with that? But as a person that played the game, like, I would love to have had like all the options and, you know, activate that side of the bracket too, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
They did pretty well telling those stories for 40 seasons, so I think you can go back to it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, for me, it's fun to talk about those things, but it's also like, I feel like production has, like, they have their schedule of things that they want to do and but they may have more data than me that's exciting. And I feel like back in the day, splitting the tribes up when there was big dominant players and half the people didn't know what they were doing, half the people did. It's like half the people were models, but now everybody knows everything. So it's kind of just like, you know, there's no need for it. People are going to be cutthroat. Devin just cut soda. You know, like, you don't need to have a split tribe for people to want to make moves. So
yeah, like, I think we really lucked out this season with the way this twist worked out, and that we did have interest, like an actual, like, very kind of wild, interesting vote on like the Tevin, Venus, Charlie side of it all. Mm-hmm. And like, but I feel like in the other team, there was still some interesting stuff at play. But I feel like most of the time, it's just when you force people into these small random groups, it's just forcing more like safer gameplay, vote out like the person who was like, you know, on the outs of the last vote, or someone they wanted out for a while. It's just, we got really lucky this episode. I was like, wow, this was, I couldn't believe what I was seeing with what was going on with the soda and Tevin of it all. But it would have been much more interesting to see them try to navigate that in, on a bigger playing field with more people. So it's like, you know, I think we got a good vote despite this twist. And I can't help but wonder what would have happened if everyone has been together. When Tevin has felt as bold to like try to like put Soda's name out there in the first place, what would Venus have done with more votes in the mix? Like, Charlie's name probably wouldn't have come up. So like, how would that have changed the dynamic of what like Maria wanted to do? It's just, we got forced into an interesting dynamic here, but you know, you can't help but wonder what it would have been if it had just been a straightforward big group.
Yeah.
Do you think that Tevin, like, I fully understand what he did and why he chose to take Soda out, but I'm kind of like, do we think that he was justified in doing that? Like, it's obviously hard for him to know if Soda's with him exactly, because they haven't voted together very frequently. But so like, it's
That's a perfect point where, like, you don't get to see blind loyalty if you don't go to tribal. Like, I listened to the podcast last week. Like, sometimes you vote on tribe strength, right? When you vote on tribe strength or, like, not liking somebody, you're really not testing your trust, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not having a trust vote. You're having, like, a like strength vote, which in the eyes of survivors, like, that's kind of, like, doesn't really mean anything. It's like, are we really sacrificing, or really is this something that, you know, is a move versus this is an easy, obvious vote? And the sooner you can have a move with people that's at risk, and you go through that risky point and you come out, you're like, oh, okay. Like, but we don't have that feeling. It's like, Tevin doesn't know if he can trust Soda. He had the opportunity to vote with her, what, one time possibly, like the week before? Like, the one time they could have, they lost, Randy got medevac. So, like, it just, they didn't have a chance to really solidify trust through voting. So in your head, he's probably like, she's good with everybody, so I don't know where she stands, you know? Which, you know, we know as an audience member, like for me, I was completely loyal to Carla. Like, I never brought Carla's name up, like, you know, but I did have relations with other people, so she could say, is James closer to Cass than me? Mm-hmm. That's a viable question in her head. So in Tevin's head, he could say, like, yo, is Soda closer to Venus than me? That's probably the question in his head. Is Soda closer to whoever else? Like, can she become that person? And if so, that may be a threat to me, because that makes me a cynical. So he has he has the best read on that, and we'll see in the future whether that's a good or bad read. I mean,
yeah,
personally wouldn't have got rid of people that are aligned to me, but that's just the way I look at the game.
I feel like, yeah, maybe it's just Tevin as a player, maybe where if he has those questions at all, it's just like, I would rather get rid of them than like take a risk in quotes on like keeping someone around versus maybe someone like a Venus who it's like, maybe she's a little, you don't vibe with her as much, but you can kind of predict what she's going to do, except she did catch me by surprise this episode where I thought she was going to like get herself voted out, which would have been hilarious.
But Venus, I feel like, is kind of game body from a move point of view. Like, her moves make sense. Like, objectively speaking, like, taking out Charlie would have been a strong move. Mm-hmm. Flipping the vote on Tevin, from her point of view, would have been a solid move. You didn't know where Maria and Charlie stood with from a in a vacuum, the moves make sense. But then you have to loop in kind of where everybody else fits and why they are resistant to whatever those moves could be, or, you know, like just where everybody's perspective is. If they're comfortable, why are they going to shake things up? Like,
yeah. And I mean, I think we said like last week, she's clearly like a good survivor player in like the strategic sense. The issue is that like it's been like 2 weeks of the game and she doesn't have any cachet with almost anyone. And so like presenting these deals and like ideas for who to take out won't usually ever work unless it's like very specific, like obvious scenario, which usually then she wouldn't be the one presenting the idea to people anyway. I think she's great on the show, and I love how confrontational she is with everybody.
On such a small group too. Like, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, like I was like, you're people, you know, these people want you out. It was very entertaining.
I loved it.
I think the one thing to point out too is it's only been like maybe 3 days, if that. Like, this early merges are like, you really don't have opportunities to make that many impressions, you know, and when you make a bad one, it sticks. Like, and it may not be anything that you do. You could just say something that's off-putting, like, or is taken the wrong way, and that you don't have time to recover or circle back, or it's just like, oh, you said this off-putting thing, you didn't know it's off-putting, you thought you may have been helping out, and that person's sitting on that until the next day, and they're already made their mind to, then you go into a challenge, and you're at tribal. Like, so you don't have like that much time to really kind of, so you have to really thin slice and find your people, or cement some things personality wise to kind of get those targets out there. And typically, if you're scrambling, that means you're behind the eight ball, because like the people making the plans have already kind of like, the hierarchy has been made. And if you don't know the hierarchy, there's a strong chance you're just not a part of it at that present moment. You can get into the hierarchy, but you're not in part of it.
Yeah.
The one scene with Venus this week, I've definitely seen people talk about it, was the whole thing with Maria. And Maria, you know, kind of talking down to Venus, but like also like, how was Venus supposed to know you're in an alliance with Tevin? And also last week you said you like don't care about that alliance. Like, that was just I did feel bad kind of for Venus in that moment, because it's like she's thinking like, okay, like Maria and Charlie are the two like who could be in trouble here. Maria's immunity, like she's had the right read that like she'd be interested in something that would save Charlie, but how, you know, it's also like, how could she have possibly known that there was this cross-tribal alliance that apparently Maria, like, that matters to Maria now? So that was like, I do love Maria a lot this season, but that was like a little not the best look, because it's like you can expect people to have reads on the game, but you can't expect them to know absolutely everything.
Sure. I just think I don't know if Maria was this necessarily talking specifically only about the majority, like the plus one alliance or whatever. I think that Venus's big issue with her pitches in this episode is that she was like, clearly Tevin and Soda are really, really close, which like most of the people she's saying this to have already spoken to Tevin about how Tevin wants to take out Soda. And so it's like, I feel like it's making clear that Venus doesn't know what's going on, like, which, but it's very hard to know clearly because these people,
it's been like 3 days.
It's been 3 days, and like that is the bond that Tevin and Soda are presenting to people. Like, nobody except for like Liz and Hunter know that Tevin doesn't like Soda. Like, they're still clearly like very good socially and like connecting and not showing any like grudges with people. It's just that like Tevin doesn't trust her anymore, and that's hard to like know.
I mean, but then also I feel like you had to kind of gauge two things if you were playing the game, right? So you approach somebody and they're not giving you an answer, right? It's like, one, it's kind of you're kind of getting an answer in a way by not getting an answer. So you got to take that information and then kind of just gauge from a, like, you have to use what you have in your advantage, right? If you are a younger person, you're allowed to be more exuberant, right? You can do more things because you're younger. Like Sammy, we didn't know Sammy was 19, but like he was a kid out there. Like he's gonna be excited about stuff. Like you're not gonna like hold that against him. He was like, oh yeah, like as opposed to the older person out there doing stuff, is like you actually know better. Like this isn't like you shouldn't be talking to people like this, right? So I think Maria was talking about more of like a respect, space, and boundary point of view where you're going to keep on asking me this question, right? You can ask it 10 different ways. I'm not giving you an answer. I don't feel comfortable right now. Now, and my answer is not going to change. So we can sit here for another 20 minutes, you ask me this question, or we can move on. I think that's kind of where it was. And you're in those situations where people are sometimes trying to drill you for information. It's like, I don't have to give it to you. And it's like, and what that typically says is that I'm in a position of power too. Like, I'm in a good position. I don't have to give you anything.
Yeah. And I also think that Maria said something like, I've been there, like, I've been her. I think that she, like, understood where Venus was coming from and, like, saw herself in Venus when just, like, the Venus confrontation was so good. Like, I loved that moment where she was like, so, like, we could take out Tevin or Soda, and then Maria was like, I don't want to commit. Like, I want to keep talking to people. Like, I'm not sure yet. And Venus straight up is just like, oh, so you don't want to work with me. Like, is true. Like, I don't think Maria did want to work with her, but, like, it's just funny to see somebody be so abrasive in this game where we're used to people being so like, oh, okay, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, let's talk later.
But people are abrasive. Like, that's the thing. I feel like a lot of times people are like that, and I don't know how much they show it, where it's kind of like people, like, sometimes out there, people aren't making any inroads, right? That's why I like this episode, where they showed you how you can have two votes and how people can think that there are two different things are going on, right? So either Tevin or Venus thinks they know what's happening, right? With Maria and Charlie, right? Like, and we're gonna know what's gonna happen moving forward because Tevin could honestly think, yeah, great, like, I quarterback this, right? But Maria and Charlie could think, well, Tevin's taking out his ally and we get to take Soda out. Like, we can bring Venus further with us even though we know we can't trust her. So those two thinking will dictate what happened this vote and what this vote was the right vote. And that's the thing about Survivor, where it's like, you can make a good move or big move, but it depends on the other people afterwards, whether that big move bears fruit or you become the target afterwards, or your threat level raises because of the big move that you made or you didn't do. So
That makes sense to me.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how the, like, what the story of this vote is to, like, the other half of the tribe, where, like, because I'm sure that Liz and Tevin will tell Hunter that, like, they took out Soda, but, like, Maria and Charlie will tell Ben, they're like, we abused the cracks in the Nami Alliance and, like, made it through. So it's whoever lasts longer.
And Venus will be like, actually, it was me.
I did it all.
Yo, if people start trying to claim the vote out at the pre-Perry merge, like, literally, when you, like, I feel like you said it best. Like, you catch votes, like, you call votes. You know you're going to catch votes. Just go back, act happy, go Lori, crack some jokes. You want to try to figure out who did it, but you should know who did it, because whoever wasn't in the vote, like, put votes on you. Like, you know who you strategize with. So you're like, all right, well, I called two strays. I wonder who did it. you kind of know who did it. They know who did it. And that's why I feel like what you were saying, Sam, about the conversations, like, how there's rules, what you should do, shouldn't do. Like, we're, like, we know, like, these things. So sometimes it's good to kind of beat around the bush. Like, I wanted to see a Jim and Venus conversation, yo. Like, Jim and Venus, like, that would have been the information conversation that we were robbed of this season if Jim made it to merge in Venus. Like, I can see those two going at it. Like, Venus, Jim with the machete, Venus may get hers. It would be phenomenal. It would be great.
Well, you talk Speaking about... Of, oh,
I was just kidding. I wish Venus had gotten more in on the who the hell voted for me.
Yeah,
that was the disappointment of the episode.
I was so... I'm so sad that Charlie said it was him. Like, I don't understand why.
it's interesting, right? Because like you like typically you know who voted for you, or you have an idea or an inkling. And yeah, to be so affirmative, like I would like not say I was scared of and to be so blatantly wrong, but I didn't like to make like definite statements in your confessional, like I know this happens. It's like it's like, and they do that right when you get back from tribal. So like she got right back and they probably send her back and like into like even to have a conversation about it and confront the person at night, like you're taking yourself away from the group and everybody's just noticing that. So if anything else, like that also just raised, you know, so does threat level and Venus is so does target level and Venus threat level. So in actuality, I think it may have worked. It's like sometimes doing stuff you're not supposed to do in Survivor, like brings it, because like if Venus is upset at Soda or whatever like that, that means because she feels like they're connected. And other people are seeing that, whether you can say it all you want, like me and Carla aren't that close. Of course I said that. That's what you're supposed to say, right? Like,
yeah.
Like me and Kaz, she's just somebody. Like, no, like, that's what you're supposed to say. But when people's actions dictate, like, well, why is she so upset? Then why are you entertaining her upsetness, right? Like, if you're not close, it's like, if we're not that close, and you start yelling at me, Derek, and I'm just like, and I care about, I'm like, why are you, and instead of just like walking away, it's like, well, why are you entertaining?
Yeah, Derek? It's like, I feel like it's just probably hard to like hide that. It's like, I don't, it's like, that's just going to come out, especially if you're like starved and you just like can't like be in full control of your capacities. It's just like, yeah, like you said, you're just inherently going to react in ways that maybe aren't good for your game. But it's just like, that's what makes Survivor so fun. It's like, you aren't going to be the best Survivor player ever because that's, you'd have to be a machine to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's non-traditional ways to play the game. And I feel like from the bottom, I feel like Venus is being aggressive, but also I think when you have bigger personalities and like you can point out that there are bigger threats from the bottom. That's something you can do. And all noise is noise. Whether that noise is, you know, a relationship for the noise or you don't have relationships. Noise is noise. And noise can't get people voted out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Venus is, I don't know, I feel like she's kind of positioned to do well just from that regard, especially because she is like a known quantity for everyone. Like, we know where Venus stands and that is at the bottom and we can use that.
And now there's this perception that she has bad reads there's certainly, at least we got from Maria, that like she's clueless, like Venus could be seen now be in this position of someone who, like, it could be in a non-winning position, but like, right. Like it could be, but she's in a position where it really wouldn't make sense for most people to target Venus.
But those are the most dangerous people. Like, those are the people I want to get voted out. Like exactly. I'm playing the game. Like, the person that everybody, like, you have your alliances, right? We're like, oh yeah, we're allied. And then all of a sudden, like, does this person that has no alliances, are they more valuable because I want to select them at the end compared to you, right? And that portion of the game happens at different points each year. And if it happens right now, Venus now is the person everyone sits next to. So no matter who is, you know, the vote out, like if you're Hunter, do you want to sit next to Tevin or Venus? Venus. If you are anybody, now Venus becomes somebody that no one's throwing votes on. Like, like Liz, yeah. Who's going to target Liz with everybody left? Like, not to say, but like the way she carries herself at camp, yeah. She's so chill. You have Hunter and Tevin in front. No one with votes on Nami is going to say, yeah, we have the majority. Let's take out Liz first. They're going to say, let's take out Hunter or Tevin. Right. But for me, if I'm a bigger personality, I want to take out that person that everybody wants to sit next to. Like, I want a harder game because, you know, they're going to start looking at everybody. Not, I'm like, I'm their ally, but they don't want to sit next to me.
James.
They got this nice shiny object here. Like, of course, like, I love you, but.
I mean, it's all about, it all leads back to Ceri. Ceri voting out Courtney in Panama. Like, that was
the
like,
Courtney Merritt.
The Uber goat. Like, if you want to be at the end, there's one spot that you know you can't sit in. So you want to get rid of that because you want to be at the end. So, as always, James. Ceri always thinking 10 million steps ahead.
Do you think maybe your proclivity towards taking out the less connected, less viewed as good Survivor players comes from your experience on Survivor 43 and who made it to the end there?
See, no.
No.
I think it just depends on, everything depends on your place in the game, right? And every season is different, right? So going in like that, once the hierarchy is set, you can't control the hierarchy on the island. Like, well, whoever people gravitate to, people gravitate towards it. So that first group is created or whatever that makes those first couple of votes. You have this hierarchy, right? And it's kind of just like people assume whatever threat is to people based on the island. Like, if there are a bunch of introverts on the island, right, then the extroverts were going to be the threats. If there are a bunch of extroverts on the island, like, you know, then the introverts are going to be the threats, right? Like, so it's kind of like, how can you frame like what a threat is within your season? And Venus had a good read. Tevin, do you want to vote out a social, like Soda, do you want to vote out social people because you're a social person? You may not want to start that precedent, right? So now if the social people are dangerous, the Mariahs, the Sodas, X, Y, like, you know, those are the people we have to get out. That's being framed by the Hunters and the Qs, right? Mm-hmm. Hunter and Q are like, Tim, like, we're the guy, let's be strong guys together. Like, let's be the threats, you know? And by threat, it means when you look at the, you know, on paper, socially, physically, what knowledge wise, like, could you, do you like a Survivor winner? Like, that's what threat really means. Like, and take it however you want. And, you know, so yeah, but Gabler, get back to the Gabler of it all. I think Gabler played a really good game, but Gabler also wasn't targeted. Like, you know, because everybody thought this is going to be a layup at the end. And, you know, that's what happens, you know, like, and once you start saying, you know, you try to frame who you sit next to instead of thinking, I'm going to play the best game. I think I'm going to play the best game I can play for my position is way better game. It gives you more options than I can't beat this person, right? Because if you're playing your best game, that's all you can do. And I think that's what Gabler did, because he didn't have power at the merge like that. He had a little bit of power with the numbers of Baka the first one who used it. He laid low and got out of the way and let everybody else shoot their shots. Like, to me, that's actually great gameplay. And that's the way he described it at Finals Tribal. Where it's like, hey, you're a big target. You guys wanted to get out James. You get out James. Y'all wanted to get out, you know, y'all kept on taking the shots at these. You know, more power to y'all. Y'all just going to let me check out. I think that's the hardest thing to do in this game is restraint. When they're telling everybody, oh, you want to make a move, big move. Every vote's a big move. Mm-hmm. It's like how it's framed. So other people want to take out your enemies. Who cares about credit? No one cares. Like, it doesn't matter. But it's fun to watch, though. It's fun to watch.
It certainly doesn't matter right now. It matters in the end, but it certainly doesn't matter at Tribal Council in the few minutes after.
Yeah.
And talking about, like, so those people who are socially outcast, and, like, if you're a person who's in the majority or, like, in a position of power, the people who are socially outcast are, like, you're not worried about them. And I guess I'm just kind of restating what we've already said, but, like, those people are the people who the other people who are big threats will, like, gather up to take you out eventually. So it's probably better to take out the least threatening person than, like, the second most threatening person if you are the top.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I feel like we've talked a lot about the Soda tribal. Do you have any thoughts whatsoever on the other tribal that happened this episode?
This was one of those votes where, like, okay, I was like, as it was happening, I was like, I feel like I know this is going to end up being Tim, but I don't quite understand why.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, this feels like a Tim boot. This, like, feels like just the way his game was being presented last episode and this episode. It felt like, I felt like, okay, I feel like I know what's going on here, but I was still.
Oh. Well, we'll never know.
I can take over. I think that, like, I mean, I think that this episode was a lot about people's ability or inability to, like, hide their true connection. Like, Maria and Charlie were so good at, like, hiding that they are bonded. Maria and Tevin, like, barely even communicated, but they had confessionals where they're like, we're really close. But, like, Tim and Ben get to this beach, and Tim is with all these people from the Plus One Alliance. Kenzie's immune, and he's still, like, we need to save Ben, we need to save Ben, we need to get rid of Hunter. And it's like, sure, but clearly that will not work because all of these people are already aligned and you're supposed to be aligned with them.
And yeah,
Q really clearly wasn't trying to get rid of Hunter. Like,
yeah,
he it was kind of, it's like sometimes it's like you know, you can try to pitch me on getting rid of Carla, but I probably like it could have been a great idea. But like, are you really going to pitch me that idea? Like, I'm clearly aligned with like this, like they're very similar and they were very tight and they were part of an alliance that they told you about. Like, so it's kind of like if Q is pushing the alliance, whether you believe it or not. Like, they believe it's true, right? So if they believe it's true, then you have to kind of at least act like it's true. Like, even if you don't want to vote for Ben, you can say, you can act like I'm going to vote for Ben. You don't have to. You can still vote for Hunter. You can say, mm-hmm. Q, yeah, you can go talk to Kenzie, talk to Tiff, talk to whoever else to try to get the vote to change, right? But you still want to tell Q, like, yeah, I mean, I had to take out Ben if I have to, you know?
Especially when a big part of Tim's pitch was that Hunter is the biggest threat, like the biggest immunity threat. Like, we have to really worry that he's going to win every immunity. And we get that cute confessional where he's like, that's debatable. Like, I think that I could beat him in these challenges. And he just lost like to two people in an immunity challenge. So like, it doesn't even really all add up.
Yeah, I mean, Q does not seem like he lacks confidence in his ability.
No.
You know, people said I was a bully on the island. I was talking to people crazy on the island. And so I was like, what? I like that. But I feel like what Q's game style is really forceful, right? Where, mm-hmm. like, we heard him talking about at the feast, we all had to give out a name. I'm with you. It's like, you don't, like, why do you have to? However, yeah. The social dynamic, right? If someone is driving that social narrative that everybody is giving the name and you feel that pressure and you do, then that's the social dynamic that you're playing with. It's not the one you want to play with for your season, but that's just kind of what it is, you know? Like, mm-hmm. if Ryan said, let's go 7 strong and everybody said, yes, in my season, that would have been the dynamic. Who knows what would have happened, you know? So mm-hmm. end of the day, you had to kind of read that. I feel like Tim was in a powerful position or a good position with Sega. And then the split tribal, we still try to maintain that position, but everything changed. It's like you're gonna go into like it's almost like a tribe swap, like a one world situation. Like mm-hmm. you're on one world, you're on one beach, and you do a tribe swap, like, and then you are back. So,
mm-hmm.
Back to my thought before Google, sure. yeah. so really kicked me out. What I like on paper, it's like Ben seems like the bigger threat, like long term, because he's so likable, so like social. And like not seen as like strategically threatening, and that's going to be threatening to a lot of people. But what like it seems like ultimately happened here was this that Tim like projected more this like air of power by like trying to like have the vote go his way.
Tim just projected, I'm not going to do what you say, Q. Yeah. Just like they didn't even tell him vote. You be told you don't have to include Tim in this vote. Like, I feel like that's what state people do a lot of times. Like, you know that someone's ally, you're going to tell them, like, oh, yeah, I want you to vote this way. Just, you know, don't tell them to vote. It's fine to leave people out of votes. Like, I feel like it's
yeah, that's funny because it's like almost like if they hadn't left, told Tim what they were doing, like, Tim, like, it was because they wanted to loop him in that this turned so badly on him.
Trying to be inclusionary. This is. You're making me think about this completely differently now. Like they have, like Hunter has 3 votes. Like you go to Hunter and say, we're voting this way, right? Hunter, like Hunter is not going to do a Jake and try to get people to go to a rock draw. Come on, guys, let's rock draw this genre. Like it's not happening. So there's 4 votes right there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is just subterfuge for an idol or shot in the dark or whatever. Either way, if Tim, like Shy in the Dark is played, they're fine. They get split 2-2. It doesn't actually mm-hmm. matter, to be told. So the smart move would have been to split votes 2-2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, for some reason, people seem so not in favor of splitting votes. Is that purely just because they're like, I don't know 100% that they're going to vote with me that way? I can't tell. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like splitting votes, especially this early when you don't know, is kind of a bad idea, but you actually have to read kind of the motivations of everybody and hopefully the motivations align. But if someone has like, you know, shaky motivations, like then your split vote just makes it easier for someone that's the target to kind of flip the lines. There's less people. So, like, I heard, oh, yeah, they're going to split the vote on you and Cass. I'm like, great. That means I only need, like, to get, like, 4 votes to you. this is fun. Like, and you learn the vote splits. So you're just like, oh, all right, bet. I know that's not happening. So now you're, like, able to target, like, who you want to target because you know there's less votes on your side. So you're trying to form a coalition. And when people are splitting votes, there's less votes needed to make a vote actually happen.
Yeah. So far, we've seen in the merge two vote splits, but it's been from people like seemingly secretly doing it. Like Charlie protected himself by voting Venus in case Mariah's shot in the dark worked. And so Venus had a vote on her, and that's a vote split. And then with Tevin, like he voted for Venus, even though like the plan was to vote for Soda for the same reason. Like it's better. I mean, it works if you can do it where it's just like you're doing it all on your own and it's like, nobody knows that there's going to be like less numbers they have to flip.
Yeah, like when you're trying to include everybody, like you have an 8-person, a 4-4 vote split. That's 8 people having to be aligned with the same interest, with the same person, the same like sequence. And then people start getting ideas. The survivor is like, well, these 4 people are doing this. And let's just kind of switch it up. So, and I think the shot in the dark is doing that. But it also, I feel like, once you know the votes, you want to throw some strays out there. That's one thing I wish you. I feel like if there's a big vote, like you know there's 10 votes, just throw a random vote on somebody that you want to get there. Like put a vote on Q. Like who cares? Like you don't have to say anything about it. I wish I would have did that one of the votes that I thought that I was like, oh, let me put a random vote on Jesse. Like who knows? Like
just no for one fun.
Jesse. Like guess, but like so like
be fun.
I like it. You know, I feel like everybody wants to be. Everybody wants to be on the right side of the vote, but the question is, are you involved in the decision-making of the vote? And if you're not, it doesn't matter. Like, you can be on the right side of the vote, but if the decision-makers in the tribe or the team thinks you weren't a part of it, it doesn't matter that you voted correctly. People will look at you like, all right, cool. That's what they did to Cass. They're like, all right, I mean, you were on the right side of the vote, but we don't think your input in that vote was super strong. So it doesn't matter that you are on the right side, you know, as opposed to, you know, so... That's something to think about.
For sure. That makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, I think it's just about almost, I guess, to go back to the like cue of it all where he was saying like, oh, you have to give a name here. It's like you're creating that culture in the season. It's like maybe in another season, a player like Cassidy would be more valued. It's just like, it just depends on like what the culture of the game is every season. And I mean, that's what makes Survivor infinitely watchable because it's different every time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The players ultimately create the game.
Yes,
exactly.
And I think that like to go back to Tim, like I feel like where he started having issues was choosing Maria for the plus one rather than Ben. And like it makes sense where he's like splitting his loyalties and like getting different people in different alliances and like proving trust in multiple ways. But like I think that if you are so close with Ben that like you will be trying to put your foot down and like breaking this alliance the first time they like propose getting rid of him. Like it seems like he probably should have had Ben, and then it would have been a little more like maybe we will take out Hunter because all the people at the tribal who were vulnerable were the plus one people.
Yeah, and it's like of course he had no way of knowing this of would course. Be the way this evened out, but like it reflects that like okay if this was the decision he made here. Like was Maria ever like in that position for him? Like would you know it's I would be it would have been be curious to know like if it was Maria in the situation, would he have you know, and like he had chosen Ben if the tables were turned, would he have put his foot down for I'm not sure because she is well connected. Like I think she in that position it would have been like more of like, okay, she's a threat we take out. Whereas Ben, like it seemed like Ben, yes, he's social, but like he's not like in the mix of like the strategic dynamics of the season quite as much as Maria. So that's why it's valuable to pick him up. And then this happened.
Ben is in this like nice little kind of, I call it the gamer's position, where you're able to socialize with everybody, but you're not taking, you can be on the right side of a vote, but you're not taking the shrapnel for actually creating the vote, right? Mm-hmm. So like when you're able to be a Ben where like people don't think you're on the strategic side of things, but you're getting information and you're not getting voted out, right? And you're able to kind of get a better social picture of everything's going on because you're seeing everything like socially, but people aren't holding you responsible for the actual vote outs that are happening. So you do want to, you got to figure out when to get your credit, you know, if you want to. I don't believe in that, but you know, get your credit. But Ben is in this nice little position where you're able to be with everybody socially. And I think the one thing Tim could have did was probably try to make inroads with Tiff a little more, and then make, and because you want to have your sub alliance, like you have your alliance of six, but I'm not an alliance of six if I have alliance of four, and I don't got alliance of three beside that six. Like that's like that's how the alliance benefits me if I have that structure inside it. So I think if Tim would have maybe tried to get Kinsey and get a Kinsey, Tiff, Ben, like I'm cool with you, Tiff, we vibe because Tiff didn't want to vote, and then Ben gets Kinsey, it's like you have a four there. And now it's like, do you want to really take out Q? I mean, take out Q. I can replace, you know, Q, you know, and I got some Sega numbers with me, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I feel like that's kind of how you massage those situations. Like, instead, like, make it like, what is it for you? To what am I bringing to the table for you, right? Mm-hmm. And how do I help you move forward in this game? As opposed to, Ben is bad for my game, so I don't want Ben to go. Like, that doesn't, nobody cares about that argument. Like, Ben is bad. Ben, like me and Ben going is bad for your game because we're going to play with you moving forward. And we have this for the next vote is a great way to play. You know, like we're, you know, and I think it's just the framing of those things. And it's hard to do when you don't have sleep, you don't have time. Who knows how many conversations you're able to have because it's all vibes. It's like been 3 days, you know? So it's like, it's really all vibes.
Mm-hmm. I think Ben is in a really interesting position in the next episode. Like, I think that his actions at the Tim tribal are like excusable, where it's like he wasn't in the plus one alliance and the Yanu three seemed very solid, and so like the only real person he could have targeted was Hunter, and like he even told Q like, yeah, I'm fine with being like the name, like if Hunter plays an idol, like I guess I'll go home. Like he's like I feel like he's been like completely transparent with everybody in a way that like
that's Gabler. James, I had to vote for you, James. They told me to write your name down, you know, I had to do it. Like, all right, we'll be good. Like, yeah. What are you going to get mad at? Like, yeah, like, I can't get mad at you.
Okay.
He's excused and he's justified in being angry with, like, Q and everyone else. So, like, I feel like he has, like, the best of both worlds where he can just be like, they lied to me. Like, let's get them out.
Yeah. Or you say, like, hey, well, thank you for saving me, blah, 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 and just have that mental information, you know, in the future, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They didn't vote for him. So, like, that's the thing. The worst thing you can do in Survivor is vote for him. Like, voting on my ally, that means you don't like me. Like, that's good. You know, that's not good for me. But not voting against me is the worst thing you can do. Like, sending me, like, so, like, you can't get that mad when you're not the target. Some people do. But, you know, that's just how it works, you know?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Any other big thoughts, big brain thoughts on this episode?
We didn't talk about the challenge at all, but very fun challenge.
Yeah.
Yes.
In terms of the commentary, I mean, what was going on? They skipped a level. What was?
They
this?
Definitely skipped the first, like on the pyramid. There's like a first level that's really wide, a second level that's like a little less wide, and then the top.
Oh yes.
Okay.
I don't like these. I want to see like more physical or just like more cutthroat stuff. Like
you want to see the girls fight?
Yes.
I mean, no, but I want to see. I want to see.
Like, we want to see the girls fight.
I want to see like play Connect Four and the winner gets to take someone's chance of an immunity. Like I want to just see those things that are like you're really attacking people. I like seeing a name and like you have three slots. And when those things break, it's just like great to see. Like you have to walk over and you have to personally
see
your thing. Like I feel like that stuff, it's cheaper than building floaty things on the water.
That's the thing.
You can save some money and have an auction instead. You can literally have people playing tic-tac-toe or Connect Four and hitting and breaking stuff and have an auction, do all some of the fun stuff and save some money here. Musical chairs. What about musical chairs?
That could be
James,
fun.
Did you not hear Jeff last season say how expensive the auction is? You need someone with a milkshake. You need someone with the money.
And that's why you bring in musical chairs as a challenge.
Yes.
Or red light, green light. Like, and then you have money for the auction. Like
for the milkshakes.
I'm fine with not having the auction every season. I feel like it's like special when it's not like a...
Especially since we made it stupid last season with the money.
What was I going to say? I agree. Well, like I just remember, you know, 20 seasons ago, people would like create statue dolls of themselves. And then the challenge was like, you're gonna burn answer it. Your question and then take this hammer and smash that doll in the face. Like, and it was, and it represented the person. Like, it had an impact beyond who gets immunity. It is like, you don't like this person and don't yes! want them to get immunity.
Yes! Yeah.
Well, it's like, it's just a part of this like broader trend with the show now, where it's like more of the show and thus the challenges are about, like, the show is putting more emphasis on personal struggle, like overcoming mm-hmm. challenges. And that's why the show loves like endurance challenges so much. I mean, they don't want to do any really hard endurance challenges anymore because they take a long time. This is why they like stuff like that, because Jeff can get that commentary of like, outlasting, you know, look at that, it's on one leg. But like, whereas that, those kind of challenges wouldn't work with the narrative of the show now, because it's like, it's supposed to be this more like overall positive, like you know, we all have our, you know, struggles, and like, it's who we want these stories, where it's like, in the, before it was more about the broader social dynamics, and so yeah. I miss it but it just is so like the opposite of the tone of the show now. It makes sense that they're leaning into these more sterile, like, standing on different platforms.
It's like, mm-hmm. you gotta vote me out, but I'm happy. Like, no, like news, like, good chance I probably wouldn't have gave Carla $1 million. She got to the end. Like, I'll be bitter juror if you want. Like, there's a good chance. But that's like part of the game. Like, the social aspect is, are you likable enough to vote me out? And then in that relationship we built, that fashion, how does, can I give you $1 million after me thinking that we are this tight? And that's the game. That's the fun part. So I feel like having a little bit of that vitriol is good. Like, you shouldn't be mad when you get voted out. I'm not hugging people after they vote me out. Like, I don't believe it's, I admire people that can do it. That's great. But I like the cutthroaty nature of it a little bit. I think sometimes having more physicality or more like one-on-one stuff kind of does that, you know. So
I agree. Like, it's like, where who said break her shoulder?
Courtney Yates.
Courtney.
That's Courtney, like, Yates.
That was crazy.
We missed that. It's that, like, was crazy. Don't you want to hear someone say that again? Like, that was fun.
Actually, you really want to see people cheering people on. You're like, because then the stakes get raised. Like, now you know. Yeah. You're accountable for this person if they really don't want to be there in the challenge. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, I don't know. I just like that. I like those things made me like Survivor more when I was before.
I did think this up. I mean, there, despite, you know, the attempts to make it all more like, I don't know, kumbaya, like, after everybody except for Maria and Tevin fell in immunity, Soda is shouting like, Tevin, you have to win, like, please win immunity, like, it's, and it's so clear that she like does not want Maria to win, like, at all.
Ooh, see, I fast forward through the challenge. I didn't beat that.
Oh yeah, wait though. But this was actually a fun, like, there was a lot of character moments during this challenge. Mm-hmm. So like, specific, I don't know that I'm specifically griping with what happened.
That's a good instance. Point though. No, like, what you said is a very solid point. Like that's a small thing that people pick up on the island and show who your allegiance is to. So that probably gave Maria, like if you don't root in that sense, you're not that strong for Tevin, right? Like, when Carla won, I was like, yeah, like that's my person. Like, mm-hmm. you know. If you're cheering, I didn't do that when other people were. So it's like, you're saying things and not saying things. I think sometimes being quiet and more stoic in those situations says a lot, because maybe Maria's like, well, you remember Tevin this hard. Tevin was like, thank you. And maybe that's the small thing that puts her over the top between a Venus and a Soda. You know, mm-hmm. you never know with people what that thing is going to be. So,
yeah.
James, if you haven't watched the challenge from this week, I would recommend it. I feel like it was fun. They played an alphabet game. Jeff Probst learned what it means when black people ask what's up. Jim did a bunch of shout outs. There were all sorts of things going on.
What up, Jeff?
Jeff was like, hello.
Thanks. I just saw the challenge. It was like, no. Because it's like,
yeah, he didn't even give him the time after they even. He was like, no, he's like asking what time, like how long.
He did late. He did what he did it later though.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, he figured it.
Your daddy said, "If you're not in a fight, shut up."
That didn't do him any favors too. I think like, I feel like Tim didn't give off "I'm willing to be led" vibes, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Sometimes you have to give off those I'm willing to be led vibes, even if you don't want to be led. Like, as long as the plan isn't you, sometimes it's good. Like, especially when you, that's a guarantee that they really don't want to vote you out. Like, you sometimes have to, it's going to put you in a bad situation, but sometimes you got to take that lifeline. Like,
his final words were like, I was a leader the whole time. I never followed anybody else's plan.
I'm the sexiest dad who's ever played.
I'm so sad that like Tim's sense of humor was not more on the show. Like, I think that he's so funny, and it's too bad that he was not spotlit in that way very frequently.
I have a feeling Tim was saying like smart ass stuff the whole entire time.
Yeah,
like even that conversation with him and Jim, where he's like, "I think you got it." Like I feel like that was like, I feel like there was more stuff there. And I think that, well, I think people are going home and not see their secret scenes. It's like, well, you got a lot of secret scenes. That means
it's not looking good.
We didn't air this for a reason.
You were almost entertaining enough to make the show.
Oh my god. But not enough to color grade it. Yeah. That's a rough spot to be in.
Yeah. Last thing, kinda. Ben had a panic attack.
Yeah.
It was right after the tribal, they went to sleep, and he woke up, he said 1 a.m., but it's how would they know? And he Kenzie helped him make a fire. He was really cold, and they became close.
That was cute. I liked that. I liked the tribal as much as we love the more brutal strategy version. It was cute. It was nice seeing them all get a little emotional.
This was fine because it was still a difficult, you could tell it was a difficult vote. And that was it was still an interesting tribal to me, even if it did obviously we want to see the girls fight. We want to see the girls cut them, but it was still it was in spite of having to do this very difficult vote that they were still able to have a little moment. So
And this moment is vital to getting those fires cooking so the girls fight. You know, it's Kenzie and Ben both are I'm not sure where the game ends and where our friendship begins. They're having trouble between those two relationships. And so I feel when those two things mix and are not directly aligned, that is when people start screaming at each other.
But I think Ben is your perfect plus one to a two, to a twosome, right? So if you're a twosome, you're looking at if you're Charlie Maria, you still want to have Ben, right? If you're Kenzie and Tiff, you think Tim's not going to, Kenzie's not going to try to bring Ben in, right? So now if you're Hunter and Tevin, Ben is sitting here in this super free agency kind of zone where it's him, Liz, or Venus, right? As your kind of free agency type people out there, right? And it's he's probably the most appealing. And Liz is just sitting there, no one talking, targeting her and everything. She's just chilling with shields galore in front of her. She has Q, Ben. She has four meat shields in front of her. I don't know if that's the right term to use or relay, but she has four shields in front of her. And she's just, Liz is sitting there it's at 10, so she's getting the 6.
Love that for her.
I forgot Liz was on the team she was on until they went to start talk to her at the scramble. I was like, oh wait, Liz is here.
She's here.
Perfect place to be. Literally, her name did not get brought up. No one's yo, we gotta get the biggest threat of the game. Billionaire Liz is it? It's a threat. No one's this may be a new strategy. Go in, I got money, I don't care, I'm here for vibes.
Yeah, I mean, Mike White got to the end, I feel in a similar sort of, he had a little more agency to do that, because people, it's Ned Schneebly, what stakes does he have in this? That's smart.
He also promised movie roles to...
Exactly.
He definitely pitched movie roles while he was playing the game, too. Let's not discount that, Mike White. Saying, I'm joking, Mike. If this aggregated, we did.
But it's maybe Liz, maybe I'll have a job lined up for me after we're all done here, you know, with
email marketing.
She's giving email tips out and people are seeing this. It's not making the show. People are revved up, you know. So.
That's the, I like this idea. The what should we call that? The Monopoly Man strategy of you're just this beneficiary out here giving people free stuff.
Yeah. He's kind of a vibey guy. I mean, revives, yo, you know, he donated the million. He didn't need it. He's like,
there you go.
I'm here for adventure.
It's like, yeah, that's, I feel like that's underrated. Like we said, it's just like, you're not scary because you are not presenting yourself as a scary person. So there we go.
So Soda becomes first member of the jury, Tim, final pre-juror. We no longer,
both of our winner picks.
Yeah, I need Tim, my it. Winner pick, Christine, Soda.
Jim was mine. So
wow,
we suck.
They're bad. But so we no longer get Ponderosa videos, which is too bad, as that was actually my favorite show, not Survivor. But James, can you tell, do you have any stories from season 43 Ponderosa? I just love hearing about what the jury is up to.
I mean, Ponderosa is like one of those funny things because I was just angry like for the first day, right? That's the first thing. So then you eat, right? That's the first thing, your meal. Like you order all the food in the world. And then you start having like real conversations with people. And then like they start seeing who you are as a person. So I think that's the one thing you start seeing. You start seeing little bits of more people's personality. And then I think a lot of times in the game, you don't need to claim, like you're able to have like the conversations at Ponderosa to cement like what's happening in the game. Because once you leave the game, it's like, hey, I'm not playing the game anymore. I mean, some people still do, but like it's like the bonds you short. Like Janine's like my like little baby sister. We became cool. Like, but it was like during the game, she was just like, I couldn't read you. I thought you were trying to like mansplain stuff to me. And I was like, like the relationships you form at Ponderosa, if you can have real conversations, are kind of cool. That's the one benefit about being there long. I feel bad for people like, you know, Tim that like, or Dwight that really get voted out and they had to like leave Fiji the next day, as opposed to at least getting like, you know, 5 or 6 days to bond with people and learn a little bit more and even get more insight about what happened in the game. Cause you really sometimes have a black hole until the season comes. So Ponderosa is cool. The food is great. And the information definitely, I feel like you learn what you didn't know in the game or what you may have thought you knew in the game. So,
I'm like Sam said, I miss getting some insight into that, but maybe it's better for the players just because you don't have cameras in your face at all. And I feel like the Ponderosa, they also didn't, it wasn't like an intense filming situation. Like they would come in maybe a few hours a day, but it was mostly just chilling.
I feel like that would be lit though. Like a jury speaks like a survivor. Yeah. I feel like it would be dope to have like a filmed roundtable type situation from a Ponderosa pre-jury standpoint. Like, I know it's not going to be included, but I feel like that stuff would be like cool. Like you can see people like, that could be a whole episode. Who knows? Like of people like these points came up before you go. Like producer is like, Jeff is like, oh, what do you think about this? And we're like, boom, 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 boom. And it, like, I don't know, like, but I feel like that would be interesting, you know.
I agree.
Feel like throughout the game, we're, you know, mild new church, stuff like that, but it could be fun. Who knows? Like, we have to go to tribal anyway. So it's
I love the idea of like, they used to do the like first 26 days or whatever episode, like, and it was just like previous scenes and then some hidden stuff. If one episode was everything that had happened at Ponderosa so far, I would obviously love that. But even if they were like, I mean, they have 90 minutes now. If instead of like cutting back to the merged tribe, every once in a while they should, like the Chiron was like, Ponderosa, and we got a scene of what the jurors were up to. What's wrong with that?
That would be great.
Or just like jury reactions. Like I like when the Big Brother video, I don't know if you guys watch Big Brother, but like when the Big Brother video, they show like they stay like, here's what happened, and they pop that and they pop it in. It's like, oh, it's like I feel like that would be, and they have a little one or two question thing. Like I feel like that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. Like after tribal reactions, what are your thoughts? Like, and we're just there, like, oh yeah, we feel blue. Like it may not. I think that could be interesting, right? Like, what is this point of your game? Like, because it gives what we're thinking at the moment too, which may better inform kind of like how we think moving forward. Like the second Jesse played that first idol, we're like, Jesse voted out Cody. We're like, well, he's going to lose if you don't have an idol. They voted him out. Like, he broke out the second idol. We're like, well.
I agree. I would love to hear that. I think, yeah, as much as I'm not like super into Big Brother, but they do like, at least one like jury house like moment per season, right? Like we check in on them.
It's like most weeks. I feel like it's always part of the live show later on in the season because, I mean, by that point, it's like they're looking for stuff to like fill the episode, but it works. I love the jury.
Me too. So it's like, I think there's a version of this that could absolutely work. I just think they're too married to the idea of like, this is the island and everything that happens on the island is the only mm-hmm. thing that matters. Everything else is just tertiary, which is not true. Like, I feel like if we got a better idea of the jury's thoughts, ideally people would not be so mean on social media because they'd have a better idea of like where people were thinking. And like, you would understand, okay, well, this person didn't communicate these things to these people, and that's why they don't want to vote for them at the end. It's just like, it would make a lot more sense to me.
I like the commitment to the fantasy.
What's that?
What'd you say?
I don't like the person. I want to, like, I feel like that's the thing. If I don't, it's fine. Like, I think that people think there's a rubric to win Survivor. There's not. It's like, literally, like, you can win zero challenges, have zero inputs on votes, and people can like you more than two people left, and you can win the game.
You can put palm fronds on people,
and they'll be fine. I agree. It's just like, that's to me what Survivor really is. And I think Sam, I do like the fantasy of it, of like, we're out here on the island and that's all it is. But I don't know. I think in this new era, why not try something new that doesn't involve
something actually new?
Something actually new, something that isn't just Redemption Island again, you know? Like, let's just try that.
Period.
In my opinion. Any other thoughts on the episode at large? In my opinion, this was, I think, the best episode of the season so far. I had a lot of fun with this one. I agree. James, what are your thoughts on 46 so far?
What I'm seeing so far, we reach reading between the lines of just player knowledge of what's happening. It's about to be a free for all, like, moving forward.
I'm a little scared.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good. I feel like we're going to see a lot of quote unquote threats go, but I feel like everybody left, in my eyes, has a really good chance of winning if they make it to the end, except for maybe a couple of people. Like, where I feel like they could actually, like, win. Like, if Liz is at the end, I think she played a good game to get there. I necessarily don't think she'll beat, you know, Tevin or Hunter or maybe a Kinsey or a Tiff. But she could beat some people if she gets there. And I think she can get there with the right combination and win. Kinsey can get there and beat anybody. I think Hunter can get there and beat anybody. I think Charlie gets there and they give him $1 million. You know, like, I feel like this is, and I like not knowing who's going to win and having everybody actually be viably solid at the Survivor game they're playing. Right now, everybody is relatively solid at the game that they're playing, which is going to make this next vote crazy, crazy, crazy. So I'm excited.
Me too.
I think we're set up for a good, like, on an episode level, I think we're set up for, like, the rest of the season to be good and fun, and I'm ready to be entertained. I am very worried. I feel like the fan base surrounding the season has grown so toxic already. I worry for what will happen over the next month and a half online, but I think we'll come away from it with a good merge of a season.
Yeah. I mean, if our pattern is, you know, two seasons in a row that are, like, not so toxic, and then we get the next one maybe a little scarier time on social media. I mean, 2 out of 3 being not terrible and toxic, like, in terms of toxicity, is a good pattern. And then the third one in the pattern, we got a lot to talk about, you know?
I like the social media stuff. I mean, I feel like I've never been no one's really attacked me. I feel like people thought I was a meme account for the longest amount of time.
You responded.
Like, you know, like, I wasn't hiding every tweeting when it first started. And it's like me and I. So I think there's good attention. I do think you have to kind of find the people that affirm, like, the game that you're playing, and find the podcast and the voices that, you know, because if you listen to this, maybe, like, only 3 podcasts, right, in the same 3, they may not all be favorable of you. Like, I had to, like, search around to find, like, podcasts that were actually looking at my game, like, oh, shoot, like, to feel good. So you see people are actually watching the show to say, oh, like, you had to do that. Like, you have to find the voices, and you are going to hear those voices that aren't. And for me, I just look at their follower count and just ignore them. Or, like, it's like, because, like, this is one of the few places, like, you're not going to tweet, like, your favorite, like, you can tweet your favorite, like, musician. You can tweet your favorite actor, and they're not responding back typically to you. They're not seeing your stuff. So it's like, I feel like Survivor fans can probably do a better job of, like, regulating self-regulation on people that are saying, yeah. Like, it shouldn't take a survivor to like get a troll to reconsider their thoughts. It should be more on the fan base, because I feel like Survivor does give the fans like a lot of access, like as far as like we like talking about the show, we like meeting you, like we like understanding and building, like seeing you at a Bryson win like 2 years ago, and then like I see you at the fourth straight one in Philly, and we're doing two a season, so you're building these relationships with people. So it's just, I think, and I don't want people from Survivor not to communicate with the fans, because I feel like those things do help out. So I think it's just twofold, like where if you do see someone getting attacked, you know, don't like troll the person back, but like the comments saying that's not cool, it makes the Survivor favorite player feel seen, and it makes it feel like even if you don't have to attack the other person, but just know that people are supporting you out there from the Survivor community, the Reddit community, and all that stuff. So
yeah.
It reminds me of like the idea, like I feel like back in the 90s and the 80s, people would watch soap operas and like hate the actual actor portraying these characters or whatever. And I feel like people feel the same way, or like Survivor, like the perceptions of these people are the same, where but it's a little different because Survivor, it's a reality show. And so obviously the real people really did these things, but I feel like everybody should know, or like, might not know, like these events happen, but they're in such slanted ways and we see so little of it that like to me the Survivor that we watch is like not real. I understand that people really did these things, but it's like when I talk about the show, I am talking about like the fictional character of James Jones. I'm not like going online and being like this guy sucks. It's like I have these opinions about who he was in this 42-minute episode of television.
Right. Yeah, and I feel like people like think it the Nature Survivor invites like entitlement, like it invites like, because I'm rooting for someone on the show, I like am like entitled to that person, and that like I you know, if they see their favorite being attacked, was like, because they are a person, and like I am like claiming ownership, like, you know, like the Stan army of it all. And I think some of it comes from a place of like, I want to protect my faves, but also it's like your faves need to work it out with the people they played the show with. Like there are cases where there's some real injustices that happen on the show, season 39, where that do invite a broader conversation and like broader, you know, okay, we need to talk about this. But also like we can comment on what happens on the show, but also recognize this isn't for any of us to work out. It's, you know, you can be invested in it, but I think that's where it's, some people do come from it from like, I think, a perspective of like wanting to defend people, and it's like they don't want you online talking shit about their castmates most of the time.
The most interesting thing I think I heard is thinking about Survivor kind of from a sports entertainment wrestling standpoint. Like it really kind of like that really just rang true from just everything, like event, like Jeff is Vince McMahon or the final boss. Like, you know, like it's just kind of, it's like, it's like this. I feel like that mentality does happen with the show. So,
I liked your thought, James, of like self-regulation within the fandom. I think it is important. Like for when you do see someone, like I'm talking more from fans, not from like alum, of like, if you see a fan being an asshole to a player, I feel like you should feel some sort of obligation as another fan to be like, that's not cool. Like, delete that. Like, what is your problem?
Keep it in the group chat. Like, yeah, it's like, again, this entitlement of like, I have this opinion, so I need to tell this person.
And adding the person is like, yo, at the end of the day, it's kind of just like, yeah, like you can be pro Venus and not attack other people, right?
Yeah.
Like I can be upset that two black people got voted out, but not attack the people that voted them out, like personally, like they're the worst people in the world, right? Like two things can be a positive where you can support, and it's like if like just trying to like size shame, like anything racial, like any like those are things where you're like, oh, like shut up, dude, like get off, like. Because people feel supported when you do that. Like, even if you think it's insignificant, but when people see that, that makes them probably feel better.
I feel like there's almost never a reason to actually at anyone. Like, I think that, like,
unless you're like, you're cool.
Or like, I mean, like, they'll find it if they're looking for it. Like, it's, you don't need to like ever mention anybody, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just not necessary. So yeah, I agree with all of that. Do you have any other thoughts on the episode before? I don't know if we told you this before, James, but we'd like to talk about Edgic too, if you're down to join us.
I look forward to this. I have an edit.
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, before we do that, James, tell us where people can send you hate on social media.
So you can find me on Twitter, JTitterJones. That is a pic. I think that's my Survivor stock picture. I probably should use regular pictures. Who knows? But yeah, I'm not a Stan account. That's me. No blue check on there. On Instagram, JTitterJones. I'm just cooking food. I don't have a celebrity IG. I'm not an influencer. I just like food and fun. And yeah, I'm about to go grill some food today. So follow me, JTitterJones, on all social media platforms.
I'm surprised you said that you weren't on Twitter before your season, because I feel like you are one of the people who tweets like the most.
I really tweet Survivor episode. Like literally, I enjoy having like, I literally like the actual pragmatic conversation about Survivor. Like I just like the actual like game of it all. Like I watch the devil, like all those reality kind of like I play like the Blood on the Clock Tower stuff. Like I like all that stuff. So Survivor to me was always just interesting. And then meeting the people and seeing like, oh shoot, like I was able to, and you're like, oh, this is how it works. It's like that stuff, that like voting and people's motivations. Like I worked in sales. So like consumer behavior, people's behavior, what motivates people to make decisions. That stuff is all fascinating to me. Like, so when people are saying online are like, oh, this and this, I like to try to be objective in what I'm thinking, like where, hey, like I get what you're saying, but logically this is like, from a pragmatic standpoint, this makes sense. Like, I don't know. I just like doing that. But during a regular day, I'm just like, whatever. But Survivor's on, I like to, you know, interact with people. I mean, I feel like that's what our fans like it. If you tweet and I respond to your tweet about the show, we have a back and forth, it's typically fun. And I try to keep it very Survivorish and not like personal. So I think that's just my fun part. I enjoy it. So,
and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but have you read anything good lately? I feel like you and I have very similar tastes in books.
I'm just finishing the Stormlight. I finished the last book of the Stormlight saga. I feel like it slowed down a little bit.
Fourth book was bad, but you know, maybe the fifth one this year will be pretty good.
Yeah, the fourth book, I'm just like, I'm not really high on Super Gallinar. I'm like, for some reason, I also like some, I don't know if this, I like Red Rising, like that series too. So I'm all caught up with that one. I feel like people consider that like trash sci-fi, but I haven't read
that yet, but it's on my, the first book stares at me from my bookshelf.
Well, Red Rising is great. I went through the Wool series, like the Wool trilogy. I went through that really quickly.
I don't know what that is. Wool?
So Wool was like a show. It was on Apple TV. Like it was called Silo. So Silo was based on this book Wood that is a trilogy. So I kind of ran through that. Like that, I thought that was like phenomenal as well. So
okay, yeah. I'll read that.
I think Wool is great.
Oh, yeah,
Silo was great too, but Wool is phenomenal. Like, yeah.
Great. I feel like that was Sam tweeting from the Bitterders account to you about like, who Brandon Sand, whatever the guy's name, was like our first interaction, our foot in the door. I should read more. That's my takeaway from that conversation.
Me too.
For us, you can follow us at Bitterders Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Support us on Patreon. 2 bonus episodes a week. A month. 2 bonus episodes a month. And follow me at Sam Stanish on Instagram.
But we're having our own sci-fi episode right now where suddenly there's a James clone in the conversation.
I mean, Black Mirror. I mean, this is an Orphan Black type thing. This could be Orphan Black. This could be Black Mirror. I mean, I may be in the sci-fi kind of like chokehold sometimes. So I may have watched or read a lot of the sci-fi series that people love.
But. Yes. You can follow me at Rain Derricks on Twitter. Shadowplay Gay is Christina and I's anime podcast that will one day have more episodes. We'll see about that.
I believe in you guys.
What are y'all favorite animes? Because, like, I love me some anime. Like, all right, what's your top, like, three-ish, like,
My three. So I'm a big, I love Neon Genesis Evangelion. That's like my baby forever. Love that show. The show Christine and I talked about is Revolutionary Girl Utena. That's my number two. Both of these are from the 90s. My number three, maybe Ping Pong the Animation. I love that one. So those would be my three. Yeah.
I'm not as well versed in anime as Mr. Reining. That was a feature on our podcast where he would bring up all these like deep anime references and I'd be like, you go girl. I mean, Revolutionary Girl Utena number one for me, James. You gotta watch it.
Good old Crunchyroll?
Oh, it's actually on YouTube. It's on YouTube for free still.
We'll DM okay. you.
Okay, yeah. Please do. Thank you.
Wait, what about you, James? What are your tops?
I feel like I'm a newer anime head, right? So I love, I think that the anime that got me locked into anime was Full Metal Alchemist. That's the one that really just like, was like, yo, like this just kind of deep and sad and crazy. Like, and then you go, like, your next one was kind of Attack on Titan, the most depressing action lead anime you get into. I think third on my list, I'd probably go old school with like a Naruto just because it's just a classic. Just
hard to beat that.
Yeah, I mean, but currently Solo Leveling is freaking all that. Like that.
I've heard really good things about that one.
Yeah, that's a keeper right there.
Is it still airing right now or is it like on hiatus? So
I don't know if it's one of those shows that has they already have it already all like dubbed. And they're just releasing it here, or if there is a new show, like, I just don't know. It says 2024 on it, but it could be 2024. But they have like five seasons stored up. Like I go know the X week came out, but it's the first season I've seen that I have access to legally is the first season, and it's still ongoing.
I mean, that makes sense. Okay, so now we know if Christine and I, when we do more Shadowplay Gaze, we know someone who we can talk to about anime.
And Davey, too. Like,
me yes!
And Davey, yeah, yeah, that'd be a great duo.
I feel like we need to one day, there needs to be like Survivor anime fan something. We need to get something to happen.
Yeah, could you have different level? Could you have like the Pokemon Survivor people? You know, which is like it's still anime way, like it's Kurt's, like you know, I mean, like
it's the iceberg, like, you know, like there's the top of the iceberg and there's the bottom, you know,
yeah, so, you know,
so. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I love that.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the X-Teen Files, and you can read my writing on Inside Survivor, where I write a weekly roundup about the show with Gia Worthy.
Oh, that's you!
So cool. Yeah, me and Gia. That's me.
There you go.
And like, I just French.
Sometimes I love to like the stuff I read and the like things I recognize. I'm like, oh shoot! Like I like.
This is me, and I forgot on the anime talk. I forgot to mention I did watch Chainsaw Man recently, and now I'm really into Chainsaw Man and reading the manga. So, anyway,
I watched the first episode of that, and I need to keep going. I don't know. I'm really bad about like I do a little sampler of stuff, and then I never actually like follow through on anything.
Derek, you're watch so it and read. You watched the first episode and wrote like a 10,000-word article about why it was bad.
You don't need to. You did not need to say that.
Big fan.
I didn't say it was read the bad. Manga. I said
it's,
it was.
The manga's great.
Yes, I would be down with the manga. Getting exposed right now, I can't.
You didn't even meet Power. You need to meet Power. And I've seen her.
She looks fierce.
Okay.
Anime should capture you. You should have a question. All anime should be like Death Note. Death Note has the best, like, the best pilot episode in anime history is Death Note. Like, it just tells you everything you need to know. Like, this dude wants to kill people, and he writes their name down his notebook. Like, here's what
that's
it is. Like,
know.
Like, the best pilot in anime history. You know, like, you know.
It's so good. I will stand by Death Note until the day I die. Like, same. That's good.
Sorry for the tangent. I mean, we gotta get the
edit. I really love it. Derek, I found your Chainsaw Man take.
You don't need to do all that.
Read it out loud.
So, Edric, James, you said you had a...
I feel like Edric, I don't know, has it accounted for the 90-minute episodes and their logic and theory?
I feel like since we are only on the sec, like I feel like D was so obvious in a lot of ways, and I don't see anyone on this season like matching that, at least to me.
I mean, D wasn't really even a front runner in Edric until like next episode or even the episode after of where we are in the season. Like, I feel like people were really focused on Emily and Kelly for a long time and, like, not really talking about these.
Was the Emily and Kelly leave the, like, Edgic, were they high?
People were very high on both of them. I mean, we were at various points in the season. But, you know, it's tough to find out, figure out.
I mean, is Liz leading it right now?
I honestly felt good about this episode for Liz.
What?
She was in a position where she is, like, people are coming to her to tell her stuff.
But that was it's just the game position she was in. She was ultimately portrayed as being, like, I feel like quite irrelevant. Like, again, like, I don't think it was for her.
That was the episode titled Nary 2 weeks ago. You never know.
So wait, is there Edgic standings right now? Or
I think people are probably, I would guess, are high on Hunter, honestly. I would assume.
Mm-hmm. People are high on Hunter. I don't see it.
Me neither.
There's no way he makes it. It had to be like a Jonathan type make it. He gets to the end, he makes fire, and like people somehow don't take him out like before the final four immunity, which he'll probably win if he plays in it. So like there's no way like they should let him.
But I do think that Hunter is like I still think it's like Hunter or Tevin. And I think I asked the question earlier about if Tevin was justified in doing this. And I think the show is kind of trying to be like I can't tell if they think it's right or wrong that he did this to Soda. We're really seeing his views on everything, but we're also seeing really clearly that Soda was with him very well. So I don't know. I'm kind of like Hunter number one right now.
It's hard to vote off your someone that is like trusts you 100% and actually has like cachet with people. It's hard to vote out allies in New Era. Like, you rarely see someone voting out the number one and winning the game. They can go far, but it's hard to vote out your number one and win. Like, it just, it's.
Especially for that person to now be on the jury, too.
Yeah.
Who you just burned the hell out of. Like,
yeah. But Soda thinks it was Venus.
Until the people get to Ponderosa and they see those. And this is the thing about Ponderosa. It's like, yeah, yo, I love this person. Man, they're great. Then that's where they come in. Yeah, you know, Tevin. You know, Tevin's the one that Venus goes to the jury and says, yeah, like, they told me that Tevin did blah, blah, blah. Oh, Tevin brought up the idea? Now you think you have people in the jury. Now you have two people in the jury that look at you like, what's happening now? You know, so counting your jury votes is something you don't want to do. But what you want to do is keep your allies in the game and vote people you know that voting your ally out is just bad. Like, I guess for Tim, that makes sense. But he didn't have to vote. But I've been. He could have just voted for Hunter, and his ally got voted off. But you don't want to vote your ally out.
Yeah. I just feel like it's like if you get as far as you can with those people, and if they do go like right before the end, it's more forgivable, and they're not on the jury mad at you for longer, talking to other people. Like it's just like, yeah, it just is not a good idea.
So you have Hunter.
I would say I like you, James. I'm like. Maybe Liz. No. I feel
not really gonna be Liz.
I have eliminated Liz. Sam and I are united on this front.
But I feel really good about Tevin. I think Tevin's edit is good. I don't know. I know Maria like had like a not great moment in the episode with Venus, but I just feel like she's in a great position. I think that's good.
So let's play this question game. Who can get enough votes to vote out Charlie?
That's true. Like, I feel like people are not willing to, like, turn on him at this point. And
fire making. I mean,
and Charlie's an athlete. People don't know. Charlie's a cross-country guy. Like, he's an athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, Tim does triathlon. So, like, Sega, like, I didn't know those things, and that made Sega. But, like, you know, who's going to gather votes to take out, like, Charlie? Like, who's going to, like, I guess you can see, make arguments for, like, take out Tevin. You can make arguments for that. Take out Q. You can find people to take all those people out. But like, who's your coalition to mark Charlie as a threat and then gather him over other people?
Well, Venus definitely wants to take him out. But that may be a headset
for your team.
I think that's a good point. I mean, I don't It seems like people really can't tell that him and Maria are really, really close. And now that he's survived two Sega eliminations and it's not been him, that's a lot less threatening now. So I feel like he's in a good position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Charlie's for sure going deep, especially since people haven't seemed to like clock him and Maria being so close. And this was kind of like, if you were gonna do it, this was where it was gonna happen, because it was such an obvious, like, numbers wise to get him out. I could just as well see him getting cut right before that, and seeing people realize right before the end, oh, this young guy is actually a threat.
I forgot to bring this up, but like the lies at Tribal this week were horrible. Everybody was so bad at pretending, like lying about what was gonna happen. Everyone was like, yeah, it's obviously Nami, and it's like, no one would ever talk in that way about it if it was really going to be that, or like any. It's just so blatantly fake.
That's the thing. When you go to Tribal, they probably don't like this, but I was just like, yeah, here's the narrative at Tribal. Like, this is the narrative that we're going with. It.
This is what we're going
to
do.
Like, that's the narrative. You stick to the narrative. Like, this is the narrative that we're going to spin. And the narrative is like, and when you're not a part of that narrative, it's like, that's when you know you're going home. The great Kim Spratlin told that in her podcast, like, understanding that narrative. And like you said, reading it, where it's like, this, we know this doesn't make sense. Like, everybody's just saying what's happening here. Like,
yeah. I mean, I love it because I love bad gameplay, but like, this is why people do the metaphors. They're like, that way I don't expose anything. I'm glad we got what we got.
But you see, but like you said, that like, I love watching bad gameplay too, but I don't equate that to like good gameplay. Like, you know, like I enjoy watching it, right? Like, I love watching bad gameplay, but I also recognize that that's not also good gameplay. Entertaining as heck, love it, but I still also like to see really good gameplay. And it's gonna be funny. Like, if they argue about if they argue at camp about who actually got the vote out, who was in charge of it, that's going to be musty TV. Like, have we ever seen that before? Like, yo, we're leaving Tribal. I'm in charge of that vote out. I did it. Like, I have the power in the game. No, you have the, like, this is going to be great. Can't wait.
I'm excited.
I think the other person that a lot of people are focused on is Kenzie. And I think we've all sort of been... I mean, we love watching her, but I think we're kind of like not thinking she's gonna win. Is that how people feel?
I have not eliminated her. She's like, I'm not confident enough to say yes, like put her as a top. I have not eliminated her, and I still feel like I could see a path where it works for her. It's not enough for me to be like, there's too much negativity in the pre-merge. Like, there's just the way they edit people now is just so different than it used to be, and there's just been no big enough red flag for me to be like, eliminate her. But I do see, if she doesn't, I would be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. If that doesn't work out for her, I mean, I'm still hanging on to that moment in the pre-merge that we pointed out how weird they twice rewrote history of what happened in a previous episode about Kenzie. They rewrote the history of the pre-merge in the premiere with the previously on that made it seem, camera was the numbers with her and Jelinski were different. And then where they were like, oh, if Randon hadn't been medevaced, we were going to get out Kenzie. And then suddenly this becomes this like big what if. I don't know. That's enough for me to like really be like, why was that done? And then she was pretty positively in this episode, very positively. And I don't know what to make of that. It could just be like she's the big character of the season. I mean, but it for me to be like, huh?
I mean, my theory has always been in the new era, you know, once you start, it is early quote unquote threats. Whoever the least threatening people from the quote unquote big alliances or big groups are the people that traditionally just go to the end. It's just 41, you had Erica, Heather, Deshaun, and what's the last? Xander, three, like, of the perceived, like, They're not Danny. They weren't Shane. They weren't Ricard. It's like you get there, you get to 42. Like, Mike made it through, but then you had Romeo and Marianne, who was at the bottom of her tribe. You had Gabler at the bottom of his tribe. Mm-hmm. You know, Cass was quote unquote on the bottom of Coco. Owen was quote unquote on the bottom of Jam and Carolyn were like the bottom of their quote unquote respective groups. Like, Heidi was at the bottom of this. Like, this is the tradition of Survivor is this is what happens. So that's why I feel like the Liz Kinsey is definitely below Tiff and Q. So that's why I think Kinsey has a chance. Ben is definitely not gonna get targeted, hopefully. So that's my theory on it.
But I feel like Q is out on the outs of the three.
He's going home soon.
I think that in the premiere, like the big thing, first thing was like, there will be one person among you who won't get along with anybody, and it cuts to Kenzie. But I think it's pretty clear at this point that it's really about Venus. Like that's Venus's whole storyline. Like people are not on board with her, and so I think that putting that away is like really good for Kenzie. That it's actually like they just cut to her, maybe for some reason. But I think in this episode, I'm starting to see more flaws without that, where she's talking like. The thing where she's like the line between friendship and game is hard for me. Like I just don't think that they like winners to say that kind of thing, and so I feel like that's just like another thing where I'm like it's probably
Dee
not.
Said that last Dee had a similar confessional last season.
But Dee's plot line was about being able to do that. She was like perfectly consistent with like knowing when to betray the people she's close with.
Yeah.
Dee didn't do that much betraying, though. That's the thing. Like, if you're playing Survivor well, right, it's like you frame it as you made a move, like Drew made a move against the group first, so I can take Drew out, right? Like, that's the thing about it. Like, you want to play the game, the Tyson Apostle school of you don't really need want to lie until you have to, right? So when you pull your lie out, it makes sense. Like, if Dee was lying the whole time, but she lied to Austin, he wouldn't have believed it. But because she was selectively lying and doing what she said she's supposed to do, that lie rung true. You know, you want to build that currency up. You know, they say
definitely. It was just a much bigger theme in Survivor 45. Like withholding information and like social bonds versus strategic bonds was like a whole. Like I feel like they talked about it in every single episode, especially down the stretch. So that when it gets to the point where Dee is either going to tell Austin. Not about the Drew vote. Like it's her calling card by the time she gets to Final Tribal where she's like, but this is the one thing that I was able to like maintain my game mind without like affecting our relationship or anything like that. But anyway, I just think that I'm wondering where that plot line goes for Kenzie if she's now like unable to take out Ben because she feels like blah, blah, blah. I don't know. And then I still think, I mean, the panic attack isn't good, but I think Ben is a very interesting character to watch anyway.
Mm-hmm. I feel like my final thought is I don't want to sleep on Tiffany too much. I feel
love
like
her.
Tiffany is so, I mean, like beyond just being like really fun TV, I feel like she's in a great position.
Yep.
And if Kenzie is like, I could honestly see a world where Kenzie becomes like that blurred line becomes what makes people not want to vote for her at the end. Because maybe she has to burn Ben at some point and he like feels like there was something else there. And so I could see maybe if that's the case, then Tiffany could be sitting next to her and people would respect Tiffany's approach to the game more than they did Kenzie's. But yeah, it's like we said before, it's hard to ignore the way they edited the Banu and Jess stuff on Yanu. So who knows?
I think we're getting a dominant, like, strong majority had control the whole time winner, and I think it is I think the Hunter is winning. I don't know.
Okay,
that's my final thought.
Ooh, that's cool.
you're allowed to think that's okay,
that's what I think.
Yeah, I just feel like he's a little too golden boy for me, but you know, maybe that's just is who he is. Any other thoughts on Edric before we wrap this shindig up? No, nothing. Not a damn thing. well, thank you so much, James, for joining us. I would.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime you want to come on, awesome. We are so down. This was amazing. I hope you had as much fun as I did.
I had a blast. Keep doing what you're doing. Very much enjoyed, you know, talking about Survivor and just, you know, being able to have respectful banter about, you know, different thought process. I think that's what it's all about because the beauty of the game is we can all watch it and see four different things. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can have constructive conversations that are fun and crack jokes about it. And it doesn't have to be, you know, World War 25. Like, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the goal. It's just like, it's a TV show, guys. Let's all chill out a little. We can still be passionate about it, but like, we don't need to be mean, ideally. Unless it's funny. If you're going to be mean, make it funny, at least.
If you're going to be mean, make it funny and don't tag the people you're being mean about.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, just be mean to us. That's fine. I can take it.
I can't. I'll delete those tweets. James, maybe we could have you back to, like, for a book club when Stormlight 5 comes out or something. That'd be fun.
Is that going to be good, though? I'm scared.
We'll have to talk it out.
Book club / anime club. It's going to happen. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you all next week for more, hopefully more chaotic kookiness on Survivor 46.
Bye.
Bye.
Peace.